Rusty Quill Presents Chapter and Multiverse.
And welcome to Chapter and Multiverse, the actual play podcast where we explore the same city across multiple parallel universes. I am your game master, Maddie Searle, pronouns she, her, and today we'll be meeting the characters in our first ever campaign of Masks, A New Generation. And before we go any further, I would like to introduce our fabulous players who are going to be taking us through this campaign, starting off with Pip Gladwin.
Hi, I'm Pip Gladwin, pronouns he, him, and I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah. And Lowry.
Hello, I'm Lowry Ann Davis, she, her, and I am also super excited to be here. You might be able to tell from the little tremble in my voice. Very excited.
And Ahmed.
Hi, I'm Ahmed Al-Jabri, and I am super stoked to be here.
And Liz.
Hi, I'm Lydia Nicholas, pronouns she, they, and I'm just chill, folks. That's cool. Take it or leave it. Yeah, I'm totally cool with this. I'm not so pumped. What? No. Chill. Yeah.
Totes chill.
So yeah, we are going to be introducing our characters both to each other and to the audience. So I am the keeper of the secrets. I know what all your characters are, but you don't necessarily know what each other's characters are. Does anyone want to go first?
Happily, I will go first.
Amazing. All right, Lowry. So in Mask, you can have many different names, including like human names, alien names, hero names, like whatever. So what name or names does your character have?
So my character, her given name then is Bledeweth Morgan.
Ooh.
But don't worry, everybody. She likes to be called Morgan. You don't have to pronounce the Welsh name. And she doesn't have her superhero name yet.
Ooh.
Is that something I can say? I don't know what I can say, actually. I enthusiastically volunteered myself and immediately I'm like, how much can I say? Maddie, guide me.
It's entirely up to you. It's like if you want things to be a surprise, keep them under wraps. It's entirely up to you.
Okay. So she lives with her uncle, Owain. He raised her. And she has some superpowers, which I will tell you about. She has super strength and speed.
Ooh.
And vitality absorption. So if you think of her base level is like Captain America kind of super strength and speed. So she's, you know,
hunky,
amped up basically from a normal human. But the vitality absorption comes in where she can absorb energy from living things. So that could be plants, that could be people. Mm-hmm. And that amps her up even further. So in theory, she has the ability to go up to, like, I don't know, Superman levels. But ooh, we've never done that because it does take its toll on the living thing that she absorbs from.
Oh, no.
So I think she's a bit afraid to test that.
And presumably an emotional toll on herself.
Well, yes.
Which is what this game's all about.
But what she does... I don't know. Do I want to keep that a secret? Okay, no, I'm going to keep that a secret. Redacted.
All right. What does Morgan look like?
Her most striking features is that she has very, very bright green eyes. Like almost, not glowing, but almost very, very bright and eye-catching then. She has long, tawny hair. So, I mean, I am kind of describing myself here, which is...
Especially the energy absorption.
Yes. I'm actually giving out more energy right now, I think, than absorbing. I haven't given much thought beyond that, like, she's Caucasian.
Just some hovering eyes.
Yeah, hovering eyes. All around her. Yes. I like the idea that she has like some Celtic tattoos. Kind of like love spoon style design. So I don't know if you're familiar with love spoons. It's a Welsh cultural thing. And so there's lots of hearts and like maybe daffodils and like, you know, the Celtic. They used to be really popular years and years ago. Like, oh my gosh, what are they called? Like
Celtic knots?
Bands or Celtic knots. Yeah. And things like that. Just like on her arms and her limbs. And
how many limbs?
Yeah, I know. Arms and limbs. Like she has more than
so
four.
Many limbs.
All of the limbs. Did I not mention
if
that?
If you've got more than the normal amount of limbs, then you've really buried the lead here.
Yeah.
Just a couple of tattoos on her 12 limbs.
I'm going to categorically state that she has two arms and two legs because I feel like I have now made it that I need to.
And how old is Morgan?
Oh, thank you. Morgan is 21.
Sweet.
So, yeah.
So, Lurie, your character has a thing called doom signs. Can you explain that a little bit more?
Oh, my character I'm playing the doomed. Ooh. Which is a type of character in the game Masks.
Yeah. Has that been established? Yeah.
I mean, as opposed to me just being like, I've decided I'm doomed. So... it's basically things that I can do, but if I do them, I have to mark them off on my sheet and it takes me closer to my doom.
Ooh.
So I have five abilities available to me. So one is dark visions, and I have to have chosen one that I can take at the start, I believe, if I recall correctly. And I've decided to take dark visions because my uncle, Owain, he is also a superhero, or he has super abilities, and his ability is that he has visions of the future and he can predict things. Ooh. That, you know, may happen somewhat murkily. So I have inherited that from him as well. I have the dark visions, which basically means I can ask the GM a question and Maddie has to answer it honestly.
What did you have for breakfast?
Yes, really helpful things.
Tell me your deepest, most shameful secret, Maddie.
Oh no, I will not abuse that power in that awful way. Another one is infinite powers. So basically I can use any ability from anybody's playbook. Portal, I can appear in a scene with anyone I want. Burning bright... oh, something we haven't touched on is sanctuary. So there's a thing called a sanctuary, and the GM, if you want to go to your sanctuary, the GM kind of says, oh, you have to satisfy this thing to be able to go there. I can go to my sanctuary and call upon the resources in my sanctuary without having to fulfill the GM's demand, basically. And bolstered, I get to use an adult move, which I will confess, I do not know what an adult move is.
It's just basically like the more emotionally mature versions of the basic moves. So like as your character grows up and becomes more mature, you can do like more powerful versions of the moves you already have, the basic moves that all characters have access to.
That's a lovely thing. Yes.
Amazing. All right. Any other little tidbits about your character before we finish up?
I guess it's worth saying that my sanctuary is my home that I grew up in with my uncle. It's quite remote, purposefully so, which hopefully will come up at some point. And it has a big library because basically my uncle has collected a huge library of books so that he can help research and understand his visions. And I have access to that. There's also my things there, and it's somewhere that I go to recharge.
Lovely. All right. So we have now met Morgan. Who wants to come forward next with their character?
Happy to give it a shot.
Amazing. Yeah. All right, Liz. Who are you playing?
I am Minnie Smithson, who is a perfectly ordinary human individual.
I see.
Yep. That is who I am. And that's what I'm doing. Just an ordinary human. Ordinary human. A human, but ordinary. Minnie Smithson.
Smithson is great.
Does Minnie have a hero name or any other kind of names that
what?
We should know about?
Not that you should know about, no. I'm just an ordinary human. Just, yeah, that's me. Ordinary and human.
Sounds like there's nothing more to investigate.
No!
Reached a dead end in our inquiries here.
Minnie is a small, white human. They appear pretty female-shaped, female-human-shaped, I should say, and pretty femme in attitude. Their hair is long and looks kind of iridescent black from certain angles. Ooh. It shimmers with blue-purple iridescence. But that's like normal, right? It may have some streaks of neon color in as well. It kind of looks like an extremely sophisticated dye job, which is totally what it is, because I'm an ordinary human. And my eyes are a very dark blue that borders on purple, which is so human. I don't think you could get more human than that. Sometimes they like glow a bit when, like when I get emotional, but I mean, humans do strange things, right?
I'm sure it's just the light, right?
I'm sure it's just being a human. Yeah. And I live in a flat with some other ordinary humans, including Benson McDykel, who is totally human. And Cleo Schmirk, also human. And we totally get on. Even though, like, we broke up a while ago and, like, you know, their new partner is fine. And I totally am okay with overhearing their smoochy Zoom calls.
No.
That's cool. Yeah. I'm a human. and I work at a shoe shop. And while I'm trying to get my journalism career off the tracks, off the human things. Yeah. Very human.
What age is Minnie?
Like in human years, which are the only years that I'm concerned with, obviously, like 22.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there any backstory or...
What? I'm a human. Why would I have, like, anything to reveal? Humans don't have secrets.
Be happy to know, Lydia, that my notes for you have the name and the age that you gave, and then just the word human.
Human. Yeah. Just underline that, because I am... very human. That's what I am.
Double underlined.
Being a human.
So, Vip, do you want to go next?
I will go next, yes. I will be playing a young man by the name of Joseph Teller. That's his name. He's about 21.
Cool. That's all we need to know, I'm sure.
Does Joseph have a hero name currently?
He's not been on the scene for very long. In terms of being out in the world, being a public superhero, and even the time that he has spent out, whenever there's been camera crews or, you know, witnesses or anything like that, he's not sort of stuck around and done the whole sort of, hey, I'm the newest superhero on the block. There's generally shots of him like disappearing up a building or slipping away. Generally, there's lots of sort of blurry shots of who is this person, this mystery man, but... the name Zenith has come up in relation to him.
Sick. All right. And what kind of powers slash abilities does Zenith slash Joseph have?
A grand total of no superpowers whatsoever.
Hmm.
He is very, very stealthy. He seems extremely well trained. He uses gadgets here and there. There's sort of, you know, smoke bombs, grappling hooks, that kind of thing. But he hasn't publicly displayed anything that would present itself as being like a superpower, something that a human couldn't do.
Could you just clarify what those things are that humans can't
do? Just for the record.
You know, it's just we all like to clear that kind of thing up.
It is useful to know.
Mm-hmm. And are there any important people in his life that you would be willing to share now, or would you prefer to leave that for later?
I think for the audience, I'd be happy to share it with the players, just in a kind of, you guys as players know, but your characters probably don't know this. But yeah, let's leave it. Let's leave it. It's going to become pretty abundantly obvious what I've done.
Yeah.
Probably already is to some people.
Oh, that sounds exciting.
Yeah, first scene, it's all going to be laid out.
What? None of us have anything to reveal very soon after things start.
Chortle, chortle.
My moves, if you want to know my moves.
Yes, go for it.
My moves are been reading the files, which basically it's given me access to a database about superhumans, like a research database where I can find out things. Another one of these ones that allows me to ask a question of the GM about something that's going on or that kind of thing. I have Be Mindful of Your Surroundings, which allows me, if I assess a situation before entering a fight, I can ask more questions of Maddie. I'm basically just stacking up all of this, you know, give me all the info before we go in. Very much like to be prepared. He's a Boy Scout. He's not a Boy Scout. I mean, he might have been at some point, but anyway. And then we pulled one from another playbook, which is it's from the Beacon playbook, which I don't think any of us are playing, but the Beacon has one called No Powers and Not Nearly Enough Training. So the sort of archetype of the like fresh young superhero doesn't know what they're doing. And that's not who Joseph is. So we've reskinned that as No Powers and All the Training. And it sort of allows me to have a little resource that's kind of always going on. And I'm acquiring little pieces of gear all the time. I can only really have one at a time. I can get a few uses out of them and then clear it in order to get a new one. So lots of adaptability. Yeah. So out of costume, to look at him, he is pretty forgettable. This is a young man who, in his short time on this earth, has cultivated forgettability. He is slim, white, kind of like relatively ambiguous looking, but definitely closer to a male. And when out and about, it's just like loose clothes, nothing ostentatious to him at all. He's tried to make himself look as dull as possible when not in costume. And when in costume, I don't think there's good enough pictures of it, honestly, to be found by anyone online. But definitely leaning towards something full-bodied with a face mask or helmet and in either black or very dark green. Hard to tell because the pictures aren't good enough. Yeah, and I guess that's all I've got.
Amazing. All right. And before we finish up with you, Pip, what playbook are you doing?
Yes, the Protégé playbook is my
playbook. Who has a playbook? We're all just humans.
Should have gone with the human playbook like me.
Yeah. Walk around, be ordinary. That's what it says.
And yes, Ahmed, last but not least, what is your character's name and what playbook are you using?
All right, so my character, his real name is Adib, and I am not going to add too much details because he's a Janus. So his real identity is a big deal to him. He has the power of fabric manipulation, so he can mind control anything that is made of fabric. His suit is just a black suit with white ribbons around his arms, and he wears two shawls, one as a turban over his head, a blue one, which is his iconic signature, and a red one around his shoulder, which he controls to use like a net, or he uses the ribbons to either tie people or maybe wrap them as a glove around his fist. He is 20, 21. His moves are the mask, which allows him to switch once per session to switch his savior and mundane abilities, or sorry, labels. And mild-mannered. So whenever I use my civilian identity to deceive, trick, or slip past someone, I can roll and try to use that as a civilian. And finally, I'll save you, which it has a high cost for defending someone. I'm very cheerful, and I'm always just smiling. And this is like, I look like someone who doesn't take anything seriously.
And do you have important people in your life that you want to talk about now, or would you rather wait until later in the game?
I will wait until later, until like when we decide who knows what about what from the group.
Fair. All right.
I know about human things.
Yeah.
All right. I think now that we've met all the characters, it's time to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll be determining whether any of our characters have met each other before the events of the game. So we'll be back in just 2 minutes.
I'm very excited.
Welcome back. All right, we now have met our characters, Joseph, Morgan, Minnie, and Adib. And so I would like to ask whether any of you think you may have met before. I feel like you're all from very different worlds, so it is very understandable if you haven't, but maybe you just like bumped into each other in a coffee shop one time. So Ahmed, do you think that Adib will have met any of these other characters before?
I would expect like if any of them is studying engineering, because I would probably studying something in engineering or somewhere in campus. That is most likely, because if I go into action and get into my uniform, someone from within my circle would notice, this guy disappears every time the other guy shows up.
Real Superman problems, yeah.
I work in a shoe shop because, you know, ordinary human, so not been around campus, I'm afraid. Have you bought any shoes recently?
Okay, yeah, I would probably meet your character because I buy abnormally a lot of shoes for cosplay.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. Then, yeah. And also we might have bonded over style because Minnie dresses like there's just quirks to her style. Like general, I've written down her standard thing, like a big gray oversized sweater worn as a dress with a belt. And then like, you know, the fish shaped soy sauce packets, but like one of them strung on a necklace. And, you know, it's just like a cool quirk to it, which is totally deliberate. And she's probably kind of commented on your cool style and the way that you seem to always make fabric work for you. Like, I can never make things fit like that. How are you doing it? That is so cool.
Yeah, she would probably find out after a few times and seeing my things that I buy. Become part of my outfit.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. Like so Minnie might not have told you yet, but Minnie has like a bit, like she's picking up on when people are moving matter around in ways that might not be altogether human. She's totally human, but like, so the fact that your clothes always fit perfectly and like the style is always on point, because you know, why would you be able to manipulate fabric and get through so many clothes if you're not also, like, rocking them? So, Minnie's got an idea that something's going on. Something's going on there.
This could also be a sort of, like, if you're buying a lot of shoes, Ahmed, do you think your character has been, like, I'm assuming he's quite a public superhero? He's, like, out there?
Okay, so he's been doing it a few times. He's not, like, a famous popular one. He's just, you know, he's there. And even his name, his superhero name, the turban, he didn't choose that. It's just, you know, because he's wearing a blue turban and that's what the press pointed out.
Is there a moment where Minnie is watching some news report on something that Adib is doing in superhero garb and is like, I sold those shoes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like, On the screen, being like, there's something about that dude. And
yeah, I bought the same shoe like three times because I cannot manipulate leather.
Ah, interesting. Like, and I'm guessing Minnie will be like slightly annoyed because she thought she was making a totally ordinary human friend. And was like, dang, this one's a superhero. Well, I mean, I'm not a superhero, obviously, but like, again, swing and a miss. Gonna learn about ordinary human things. They're like, I think they get on, if that's okay with you. Like, they chat shoes, they chat fashion, they have a joke. She's actually created a buy five, get one free stamp just for you.
Oh, because
who needs those for shoes?
I already
bought
three. So.
Yeah, you're nearly
the
there.
Two are coming.
Yeah,
I would assume like our friendship to the point that I would have taken you shopping once or twice and whatever, like we buy a lot of different things. And whenever I meet you, would probably put them together all wrong.
Yeah. Like you're just like, oh, yeah, get these tights. And like I come out and they're a very stylish belt. I've plaited it together and I'm like, look, it's a cool belt. And you're like, okay.
I would assume that I probably have crossed paths with Zenith once or twice, like handling the same thing at the same time by coincidence.
Yeah, I think for any of us, probably, if anyone had crossed paths with him out of costume, well, he's unlikely to have engaged with you and you're unlikely to, you know, remember it happening. So I think, yeah, it probably would have been in costume. Yeah, absolutely. And not intentionally either. Like, it would have been like one of those accidental by chance kind of we both arrived to sort of bust the same drug ring or whatever it is that we're doing today.
Nice. And Lurie, who do you think Morgan may have crossed paths with?
So I've been sitting here thinking she's very purposefully been brought up quite isolated. And at first I was like, maybe I've bought shoes from Lyd, but actually, Pip, you were saying, so Joseph does a lot of research, right?
He does, yeah.
I wonder if there's a way that makes sense that maybe Joseph knows my uncle or has borrowed, because my uncle has a really extensive library,
yeah,
and like research resources. And I wondered if there was something there.
I know, I'm immediately going back on something I just said, but that's how we do these things. We have a conversation.
Mm. Oh, well, what's it going back on?
Like, you wouldn't have met him out of costume.
Oh, well, it can be Zenith. If you wanted to be mm-hmm. Zenith, that makes perfect sense for me and my uncle. He's not a superhero, yeah, but he has superpowers.
Ooh, okay.
Oh. Mm. Hang on. What are you saying about my uncle, human? Back off.
So I'm not very good at subtext, but I'm pretty sure
Actually, I am going to clarify that. What I meant was, he's not acting. I mean, his power is seeing the future, right? He doesn't turn up and save someone. He just has that ability.
Right, right.
Like, he's not in a team.
He just occasionally stops someone on the train and is just like, don't get off at the next stop. And he's like, saves them, but they don't know. It's not jazzy.
Do you know what, mm-hmm. Lyd? Yes, he does, and I love it.
Oh, okay, cool.
So he's like a consultant to yeah. superheroes and stuff.
Yeah. But we live quite an isolated life, the two of us. So the only thing that I can't quite square here is how Zenith would know to go to my uncle.
I think Pip and I know a character who would be able to have introduced them.
Awesome.
I like that. And I think, yeah, it would have been less of a sort of, oh, you've been personally introduced by this other character that we're not talking about. Mm. And more like, I've gotten in touch with him. And yeah, it's very much like a, how did you get this number kind of situation? Mm. Just like, oh, okay, sure. Come and have a look in my library, I guess.
Yeah, I've got a few books on that topic. Yeah, and I would have been there. You would have seen me, like, I don't know. I would have been polite, but...
Yeah, I also would have been polite, but weird, and not taken the helmet off at any point.
That's fine.
Just reading a book with a full helmet.
Just have this vision of, like, this old library where everything is kind of propped up and it smells of musty leather. And then you're there, like, dressed like you're out of Daft Punk. Just that people turning to look at you, but it's a library, so they don't say anything. You don't say anything in a library.
That's actually a really good pull for the look. It's like if one of the guys from Daft Punk was a ninja, that's basically Zenith's look.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think he would have come like outside of public hours.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, to be clear, it's not a public library. It's really weird that you, that maybe, I think maybe we can establish that a few people have, like, through friends of friends, contacts, heard that, oh, maybe Owain, who is my uncle, has a tome or a book on this topic. He's really dedicated himself to his collection. And something you were interested in, and through this contact that I don't know, put you in touch with my uncle. So maybe you visited a few times?
There is something nice, maybe also, potentially, Maddie, also given that he's actually not an active I wear a costume to go out superhero. Or he wasn't, but he's had this ability and I assume, been using it to benefit people in some way and kind of help however he can. There's a potential for him having known my contact.
Could we, like, establish that whenever you do studying montages, there is a thudding bass line playing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, non-diegetic, but still very much there.
Yeah. I like that.
Reading faster, stronger.
Actually, harder. I'm sorry, Morgan, I think, loves Daft Punk and is playing it, and it is diegetic. It's in the sea. It's actually, she's playing it. And Zenith is trying to read. We're up on
fun. You just like, there's like a little workout station in the library because it's like your house.
That is
so
what
you can,
I work out to.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Right, making a note of that.
Yeah, because like in Buffy, they work out in the library all the time.
We've had like a couple of sort of awkward, you know, I've shown up at 2 a.m.
And I'm working out.
Yeah, you're working out, doing a vigorous 2 a.m. workout. And I've sort of come to look at some of the books and, you know, maybe it's that your father's been like, look, he's
my uncle.
Uncle, sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, maybe he's gone to bed and you're there to, you know, let him in and keep an eye on him.
You're going to be up anyway.
You're going to be up working out anyway. Two till 3 a.m. cool. every day.
Yeah. Maybe I've brought you like a glass of water with a straw in it so you don't have to take your mask off, but you can...
Yes! Have you seen that, like, picture? I think they even showed it on Graham Norton where, like, Tom Holland was showing how he drinks coffee while in the Spider-Man suit, and there's a hole and they pop out the eye, and there's, like, a long straw.
Oh, my gosh.
Just have to imagine that, like, your Daft Punk helmet has a little, like, you press an invisible kind of touch pad and there's a, like... and it opens up and there's a tiny hole and a straw comes out.
Yeah.
If Morgan has at any point commented in the past that Zenith's helmet looks like the helmet from Daft Punk, the next time he's come back, he's got a different helmet. Oh. Like, just redesigned it and come back with a different one.
Oh, no.
Do you think that there are any other crossovers of people meeting each other, or do you think that that's enough for now? I'm very happy to have more interconnectedness if you want to have it.
It sounds like Morgan and Zenith are pretty isolated.
Mm. Yeah.
If Minnie has met Joseph Teller, she definitely hasn't made the connection. And unless... if Morgan has come in to buy shoes, it doesn't sound like you come in so often that you get your own special stamp card and then go shopping together.
I was going to say, I reckon I've come in to buy a pair of boots from you. Yeah. I was saying in the break that I'd decided that Morgan is very buff.
Cool.
And dresses like Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
So it has a little vest that will show her tattoos off, black jeans and black boots, like biker boots. So presumably they last quite a long time, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, that's not really the kind of shoe that we sell as well.
Oh,
like, we're just a very ordinary shoe shop. It's an extremely ordinary job.
It is.
I don't think they would have met, but I like to imagine that if Minnie had met Joseph in like civilian mode, that she would have been absolutely fascinated by him because he is just... the most mundane human you could imagine.
Come tell me about it.
Teach me, master.
Oh, he's wearing jeans and a grey hoodie.
Ooh.
Oh, my God.
Like, furiously making notes. This is going to be my next article. Yes.
I don't think Adib and Morgan have met, but I think... So your superhero persona is, like, public, right?
Yeah.
A little bit new. I think she'll know who you are.
Yeah, as the turban on TV.
Yes, she'll know. Yeah, sorry, of course, that's what I meant. She'll know the turban. She'll know who the turban is.
Do you wear the same turban out and about? Like, it sounded like you do just generally, or is it a quick change scenario?
I'm usually carrying a backpack with my main stuff. So I just switch it. And my backpack would have like two different colors from inside and outside. So I just flip it outside out.
Cool.
So
very thoughtful.
It's like black it. When I'm, because it's black. So it would match with my main clothes, the jeans and the shirt.
Mm-hmm.
But from when I flip it to my normal clothes, would have, you know, blue or red or.
I'm guessing because you do the fabric manipulation, that your quick change is proper quick change. Like it's like, boom. How did that happen? Incredible.
The boots are the part I need to I need to stop and put them on. Like jumping and trying to put them on. And
I like the idea that like once Minnie worked out that you're the turban from the shoes, you've been kind of working together without expressly talking about being superheroes, but you're like, do you know a quicker way to get shoes off and on? And Minnie's like, oh, you know, that's interesting. But doesn't say that she knows roughly where like that might be. And so you've kind of been sketching out ideas on how to do better boot quick changes.
Yeah.
Perhaps this week you might like to try a pair of Converse. Wear some Vans.
Yeah, just have you tried non-leather shoes? That might help.
Yeah.
Actually, any shoe not made of leather. Rubber soles are going to be a problem, but yeah. You can at least change the colour.
We've got you some of those socks with the toes.
Toe socks. Oh, gross toe socks, yes.
Oh, please don't wear them.
just don't ruin a cool character.
All right. So yeah, it sounds like we've got a little web of connections here. I am also aware that on your character sheets that there is influence that you can give out to members of your team. Now, I'm not sure if it's exactly going to work because we're doing it slightly different from how the game intended, because you're meant to have all met before the game starts in the book as written, but for this, you're all meeting in the game. But if there's any influence that you want to give another character, then you can do that. So it basically gives mechanical benefits to someone else for roles against them.
Minnie thinks Adib is heckin' cool, so you've definitely got influence over her.
All right, I would probably give to Zenith as his super, because he seems to know exactly what he's doing while I'm just winging it.
Sure.
But you make such cool fabric wings, like.
I will. I think this is maybe something that Morgan might know, but I'm going to give influence to Morgan because I think Joseph personally, not that he would have expressed this, is fairly intimidated by her. She's up 2 a.m. working out.
She's just so strong.
I was going to ask actually, does Morgan superhero, does she go out and...
No.
Okay. So yeah, I like that. So it's like, I have no idea, even if you have powers, honestly.
Yeah.
Although I've probably could find out.
She does disappear a lot through a door at the end of the library that you've never been through.
Right.
But then it's not that weird because you've never been there. You know, you've never been there. You haven't been there very often, so it's not that weird.
It's not like a glowing portal or anything that just goes wom, oh, no, no, wom,
no.
Wom.
Like her eyes. No, no, no.
It's a human door.
I don't know what influence. I guess it would have to be...
Yeah, you absolutely don't have to give out influence to anybody if you don't think it would make sense for the narrative.
Can you... So what's this? What is this going to do?
What am I signing?
I'm sorry, I read this.
Contract? What does that mean?
When someone has influence over you, it means you care about what they do, say, or think. And at any time, you can give influence to any character who doesn't have influence over you. And adults automatically have influence over you when you first meet them. Right. When you have influence over someone, you can take +1 to all moves targeting them, including rejecting their influence. And to take advantage of your influence over someone, you can give them a -2 on a move they just made, inflict a condition on them, or take an additional +1 to a move targeting them. And there are more rules about it, but...
Oh, so that's like it's like a negative thing.
You can make your roles better or make their roles worse.
I'm sorry, Pip, were you suggesting that Zenith had influence on Morgan?
No.
Or Morgan had influence on
Zenith?
Other
way around.
Oh, got you. So sorry.
Yeah. If you were attempting to make moves... use any moves against me, you would have...
Gotcha.
Or like, you know, any of the ones that are like assess a person or find out more, you would have a bonus on that, yeah, against me personally.
I'm very happy with that then. Yeah, that makes sense.
So yeah, just before we finish up, I'll just go over some of the basic mechanics, partly for me to make sure they're in my brain and partly for the audience too, that they've got an idea of how the game works. So for every roll, you use 2 6-sided dice and add the label required by the move that you're using. So labels are your stats in this game. And the labels are danger, freak, savior, superior, or mundane. And they kind of represent how you see yourself. And they can change throughout the game. You can I think at any time you can move one label up and one label down, so it's like kind of balancing it out. And when you roll your two six-sided dice and add your stat on a six or lower, you fail. On a 7 to 9, it's a mixed success, and on a 10 or higher, it's a success. And also, if you fail a roll, even though you haven't managed to do that particular action, you mark potential. And when you have 5 potentials, when you failed a roll 5 times, then you can take an advance and basically level up your character a little bit.
We fail forwards.
Yeah. And there's also a mechanic called team, where it's basically a pool of a resource that you can use as a group. And so at the start of every session, there's one team in the pool. And whenever you enter a battle against a dangerous foe, you add 2. And depending on whether there's certain conditions are met at this point, you can add and remove team from the pool at this point as well. So it's basically like the leader of the team has specific things that they can do with team as well. So depending on how the group dynamics work, you can kind of figure out who's the leader at the moment, or if there's no leader, we can also figure that out. And you can also use team selfishly, so you can remove a team from the pool to like benefit yourself and not anyone else. Ooh. And then you also have conditions. When a move tells you to mark a condition, you can choose from afraid, angry, guilty, hopeless, or insecure. And each of those gives you a penalty to one of your basic moves. So these are the moves that any character can use. And if you are asked to mark a condition and have no more conditions to mark, then you are taken out. You're either unconscious or you've run away. So there's no dying per se, unless it's incredibly narratively necessary. But in most cases, it's just like, nah, this fight is not going well.
Mm-hmm. So the conditions are hit points, effectively.
Yeah, cool. Effectively, they're your hit points. And to clear a condition, you have to take a specific action depending on which condition it is. So if you're angry, then you need to hurt someone or break something important. Or someone else can clear a condition for you by using like comforting and supporting moves. Or when you defend someone, you can clear a condition as well. So doing nice things for other people or having someone do something nice for you helps. Yeah, I think those are the main mechanics of the game. And that comes to the end of our little character building episode. So thank you so much for listening. And I hope you're as excited to meet our wonderful player characters as I am.
Just an ordinary human. Like no wonders whatsoever. But normal.
Yeah, just so many humans doing such human things.
Yeah.
And I would now like to ask our wonderful players where we can find them on the internet and if you have anything to plug. And I would like to start with Lydia, please.
Oh, cool. I am Lydia. You can find me on Twitter at LydNicholas. You can watch my chickens be live streamed at twitch.tv/urbanchooks. You can even feed them via a Lego connected contraption. I know, it's getting cooler. And, you know, I do other ordinary human things.
Excellent.
That's amazing.
All right, Ahmed, where can we find you on the internet?
You would find me almost everywhere at Mr_Aljabri. I am usually on Twitter, but you'll find me on everywhere. I do cultural consulting. I write adventures, usually for Dungeons & Dragons. Yeah, that's me.
Incredible. And Lowry, how about you?
You'll find me on Lowry Tweets, which I am starting to tweet a bit more. So I am now earning my name on Twitter. And I guess in other places in Rusty Quill, Enthusiasm, give a little plug for our very lovely Happy Chat show. And yeah, that's it.
Sweet. All right. And Pip?
Yes. You can find me on Twitter at Pip_Gladwin. And I haven't given enough thought to when this is going out, so I don't know what I'll be in that's coming out around the time that this is coming out. I'll be in something on RPG, Realms of Peril and Glory. Check me out on there and on Twitter. And finished now.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at Maddie_abstract, where there are links to all the various things I do. And we hope to see you next time on Chapter and Multiverse. But until then, from all of us here in the Space Between Worlds, goodbye.
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 Chapter and Multiverse is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Sharealike 4.0 International license. It is directed by Maddie Searle and produced by Natasha Johnston, with executive producers Alexander J. Newell and April Sumner. The Eternal Tavern Keeper was played by Kareem Cronk. This episode was edited by Lorianne Davis and Maddie Searle, with music by Nico Vertese. Thank you for listening.
Acast recommends helping you find balance during Mental Health Awareness Month. Keep listening to hear a podcast we love.
Hello, I am Julie Marica, the host of the Daily Make Your Damn Bed podcast. Each bite-sized episode is less than 10 minutes long, so you can pair it with a good habit if you want, like flossing or making your damn bed, or you can just tune in whenever it feels right and you need a little jump start. We are all consuming a ton of content every single day, so why not start your mornings off with something a little more optimistic, realistic, and approachable? I am sure to include a lot of actionable tips and tricks to make starting your day and life in general just a bit easier and more enjoyable. The goal is to help you get out of bed so you can start making it. So check out Make Your Damn Bed podcast today, wherever you listen to podcasts, or visit www.makeyourdamnbedpodcast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.